like these bleeding heart judges who want to blame everybody right up to the President of the United States for how some junkie knifed an old woman and stole her Social Security check. Everyone, that is, but the junkie asshole who did it, and is right now standing in front of him and waiting for a suspended sentence so he can go out and do it again. That doesn't make any sense at all, Billy began, but Ginelli cut him off. Fuck it doesn't, he said. You didn't kill Spurton, William. Some gypsy did. And whichever one it was the old man at the bottom of it, and we both know it. No one twisted Spurton's arm, either. He was doing a job for pay, that's all. A simple job. He got too far back, and they boxed him. Now tell me, William, do you want it taken off or not? Billy sighed heavily. His cheek still tingled warmly where Ginelli had slapped him. Yes, he said. I still want it taken off. All right, then, let's drop it. Okay. He let Ginelli speak on uninterrupted to the end of his tale. He was, in truth, too amazed by it to think much of interrupting. Ginelli walked behind the gas station and sat down on a pile of old tires. He wanted to get his mind serene, he said, and so he sat there for the next 20 minutes or so, looking up at the night sky. The last glow of daylight had just faded out of the west, and thinking serene thoughts. When he felt he had his mind right, he went back to the Nova. He backed down to the Texaco station without turning on the lights. Then he dragged Spurton's body out of the rental Ford and put it into the Nova's trunk. They wanted to leave me a message, maybe, or maybe just hang me up by the heels when the guy who runs that station found the body in the car with my name on the rental papers in the glove compartment. But it was stupid, William, because if the guy was shot with a ball bearing instead of a bullet, the cops would take one quick sniff in my direction and then turn on them. The girl does a slingshot target shooting act, for God's sake. Under other circumstances, I'd love to see the people I was after paint themselves into a corner like that, but this is a funny situation. This is something we gotta work out by ourselves. Also, I expected the cops to be out talking to the gypsies the next day about something else entirely, if things went the way I expected, and Spurton would only complicate things. So I took the body. Thank God that station was just sitting there by its lonesome on a country road, or I couldn't have done it. With the body of Spurton in the trunk, curled around the smaller trio of boxes the business associate had delivered that afternoon, Ginelli drove on. He found Finson Road less than half a mile further up. On Route 37A, a good secondary road leading west from Bar Harbor, the gypsies had been clearly open for business. Finson Road, unpaved, potholed, and overgrown, was clearly a different proposition. They had gone to Earth. It made things a little tougher, just like having to clean up after them at the gas station, but in some ways I was absolutely delighted, William. I wanted to scare them, and they were behaving like people who were scared. Once people are scared, it gets easier and easier to keep them scared. Ginelli killed the Nova's headlights and drove a quarter of a mile down the Finson Road. He saw a turnout which led into an abandoned gravel pit. Couldn't have been more perfect if I'd ordered it, he said. He opened the trunk, removed Spurton's body, and pawed loose gravel over it. The body buried, he went back to the Nova, took two more bennies, and then unwrapped the big package which had been in the back seat. World Book Encyclopedia was stamped on the box. Inside was a Kalashnikov AK-47 assault rifle and 400 rounds of ammunition, a spring-loaded knife, a lady's drawstring leather evening bag loaded with lead shot, a dispenser of Scotch strapping tape, and a jar of lampblack. Ginelli blacked his face and hands, then taped the knife to the fat part of his calf. He stuck the tape in his pocket and headed off. I left the sap, he said. I already felt enough like a superhero out of some fucking comic book. Spurton had said the gypsies were camped in a field 2 miles up the road. Ginelli went into the woods and followed the road in that direction. He didn't dare lose sight of the road, he said, because he was afraid of getting lost. It was slow going, he said. I kept stepping on sticks and running into branches. I hope I didn't walk through no fucking poison ivy. I'm very susceptible to poison ivy. After 2 hours spent struggling through the tangled second growth along the east side of Finson Road, Ginelli had seen a dark shape on the road's narrow shoulder. At first he thought it was a road sign or some sort of post. A moment later, he realized it was a man. He was standing there just as cool as a butcher in a meat cooler. But I believed he had to be shitting me, William. I mean, I was trying to be quiet, but I hang out in New York City. Fucking Hiawatha I am not, if you can dig that. So I figured he was pretending not to hear me so he can get a fix on me. And when he had it, he'd turn around and start chopping. I could have blown him out of his socks where he stood, but would have waked up everyone within a mile and a half. And besides, I promised you that I wouldn't hurt anyone. So I stood there and stood there. 15 minutes I stood there, thinking that if I move, I'm going to step on another stick, and then the fun will begin. Then he moves from the side of the road into the ditch to take a piss, and I can't believe what I'm seeing. I don't know where this guy took lessons in sentry duty, but it sure wasn't Fort Bragg. He's carrying the oldest shotgun I've seen in 20 years, what the Corsicans call a loop. And William, he is wearing a pair of Walkman earphones. I could have walked up behind him, put my hands in my shirt, and armpit farted out, "Hail Columbia!" He never would have moved. Ginelli laughed. I tell you one thing. I bet that old man didn't know the guy was rock and rolling while he was supposed to be watching for me. When the sentry moved back to his former place, Ginelli walked toward him on the sentry's blind side, no longer making much of an effort to be silent. He removed his belt as he walked. Something warned the sentry. Something glimpsed out of the corner of his eye at the last moment. The last moment is not always too late, but this time it was. Ginelli slipped the belt around his neck and pulled it tight. There was a short struggle. The young gypsy dropped his shotgun and clawed at the belt. The earphones slid down his cheeks, and Ginelli could hear the rolling stones sounding lost between the stars, singing, "Under My Thumb." The young man began to make choked, gargling noises. His struggles weakened, then stopped entirely. Ginelli kept the pressure on for another 20 seconds, and then relaxed it.